Okay, my dear young people, you may be seated. Isaiah, do you ever feel like the weight of the world is on you or something? You're the only candidate here from Eastman. It's bearing a lot of weight. Okay. The first reading tonight comes to us from the book of Romans and reminds us of one very significant and important thing. And that is that the Holy Spirit speaks for us in groans too deep for words. That's a big deal. From the 8th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Big deal. It is. Because did you ever get so tired? Did you ever have such a day? Did you ever have such experiences in your short lives that all of a sudden you just kind of sit back and you just kind of go, oh. You ever have days like that? I guarantee you, you will. Because there are some days in your lives, in our lives, that nothing can sum it up except a groan, a sigh, a deep breath, a noise. Sometimes, my sister tells me this, boys make that noise a lot more than girls do. We whine a lot, according to my sister. And especially when we get sick. Men are not good patients because we all the time. And so that word, those words, that sound, according to St. Paul, is a sound that comes from deep within us. From deep within us. It is a sigh that is too deep for words. And St. Paul writes about it beautifully. If you read nothing else, maybe today before you go to bed, maybe tomorrow when you wake up, or over the weekend, read the 8th chapter of the letter to the Romans. It's really beautiful, talking about the Holy Spirit. Talking about the way in which the Holy Spirit moves within us and speaks within us. It's a beautiful way to live. Jesus wants us to understand that that Holy Spirit who speaks through us and in us uses a language that sometimes we don't understand. Because life's experiences are handed on to us in such a way sometimes that we just can't make the words come out the right way. Now, you are getting older. No great revelation there. You are getting older, as all of us are. We pray for you, young people. We pray for you in a lot of ways because our expectations for you are great. We want you to succeed. We want you to succeed in life, definitely. But we want you to succeed in your spiritual lives. We want you to go to heaven. We want you to live lives that are going to help you and form you and move you to heaven. And we can't want that any more for you than Jesus himself does. Jesus himself wants you with him. He loves you. He loves you very much and wants you to be with him. While Jesus was here on this earth, there was a great deal of love that he poured forth. First and foremost, of course, for those who were closest to him. His mother, his foster father, Joseph. And his friends, his apostles, But as that circle grew, a lot more people fell into that love affair with Jesus. And Jesus, of course, loved everyone because, as the Son of God, He knew each and every one of us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. But His apostles, after the resurrection, after they started seeing Him again, after He was dead and was alive, and they started to see Him again, they didn't want Him to go anywhere. They wanted Him to stay right where He was. This was an incredible thing. They saw Him die. They knew He was dead. But they knew that He was alive. And He was with them. And so they said, you know, you got to stay with us. And that's that chapter that we heard tonight, that piece that we heard tonight from the gospel. And Jesus says, it is better for you that I go away. Because if I do not go, the Advocate will not come. And when I go, I will send Him to you. The Advocate. The really profound word in Scripture. The Advocate. Even more profound is its other Greek counterpart, Paraclete. We hear that word. When they first started using that word after the Second Vatican Council, it became a lot more used in the church, and it sounded like they were saying the Paraclete. All of us were wondering, you know, why are they calling the Holy Spirit the Paraclete? It's supposed to be a dove. But the Paraclete, it's a Greek word, and it means advocate. It means the one who points to the truth. A prosecuting attorney, if you will. The one who shows the way to the truth. The Paraclete. And the Holy Spirit is the advocate. The Holy Spirit is the one who speaks for Jesus in the world. And the way He does that is through you and me. That's how Jesus speaks in the world. I mean, we're not going to sit here and just kind of wait. You know, words are not going to come out of the tabernacle. Jesus is not going to speak to us through the Paschal candle. Jesus speaks to us through the Word that we hear in the Gospels and that we hear from the Sacred Scriptures. But we won't hear those words unless someone speaks them to us. And they won't have an effect in our lives unless the Holy Spirit is within us, drawing out of us our willingness to accept the truth. And boys and girls, we live in an age that refuses to listen to the truth. We live in an age that tries to distort the truth. We live in an age that tries to do everything it possibly can to keep us from hearing the truth, much less allowing it to take root in our lives and go out into the world and tell the good news. That's why we have a sacrament of confirmation. That's why those three sacraments of Christian initiation, which you so beautifully enumerated for us at the beginning of the Mass, reminded us of baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation. These three sacraments are sacraments which call us to the love of Jesus Christ. That's why your pastors stood up here and called you by name. They called you by name so that you could understand that at the time you were baptized, at the time we were baptized, each one of us was presented to the priest or the deacon who baptized us. And it was there that when we were presented, and I remember when my parents went and took me to be baptized, I don't remember it because I was a baby, the priest or the deacon said, "What name have you given your son?" And they said, "William." And the priest or the deacon put his hand on my head and said, "William, I claim you for Jesus Christ by the sign of his cross. And I now trace the cross on your forehead and invite your parents and godparents to do the same." From the very beginning, we were called by name in the church. From the very beginning, we were claimed by Jesus Christ by the sign of his cross. From the very beginning, we were claimed and owned by Jesus with the sign of his love on our immortal souls. Tonight, you were called again by name. And you stood up and said, "Present." A little timidly, but nevertheless, you said yes. You said, "I'm here." You said, "Present." You reminded yourself by your own words, by your own admission, that you're here and that you're ready to listen. And much more than just listen, you are ready to act. And so you are called, and you are once again wearing a white robe, reminding yourself of your own baptism. One day, and each of us, this will happen to each and every one of us, as our funerals are celebrated in the Catholic Church, our caskets will be covered with a white funeral pall, again reminding us of our baptism. It follows us throughout our lives. We belong to Christ. We are claimed for Christ. We are called to heaven. It's where Jesus wants us. Now, my dear young people, tonight you are going to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit that you received at baptism. At baptism, your little heads were anointed with Holy Chrism. Tonight, your little heads will be anointed with Chrism once again. There'll be an opportunity to remind you of the fact that Chrism means Christ. Christ is the Anointed One. The Anointed One who has come to earth so that we may know the truth. And the truth will set us free. And the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom you will receive in an incredible overtaking, will be the Advocate who will help you to speak the truth if you let him. And that Holy Spirit will come to you in seven gifts. And you know those as well. If you knew the sacraments of Christian initiation, you've got the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit down pretty well too. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, piety, fortitude, fear of the Lord. These seven gifts, each of them does something at a particular part of our lives to enable us to recognize the truth and energizes the Spirit within us so that we may be able to speak the truth. Now, my dear young people, you are getting to the point in your life where you are going to move on to more important kinds of things, like deciding how you are going to live your life, deciding what kind of profession or occupation you are going to choose, how you are going to work, and what you are going to do. You are going to make some serious moral choices as well. How you are going to ethically live your life and how you are morally going to follow that Holy Spirit within you. This is going to be part of your life as you grow and as you move more deeply into the world of adulthood. Confirmation, contrary to some popular opinions, does not make you an adult. Confirmation gives you what you need to become an adult. I've often said in the church, we do just exactly the opposite of what Jesus did when he was here among us in the flesh. Jesus used to play with the children and teach the adults. What we do is we try to teach the children and we play with the adults. Not a good way to live our lives. And we have loads and loads of young people who come to confirmation and think they're done. Think they're done. It's all finished. I don't have to worry anymore. I don't have to read any more Catholic books. I don't have to study any more Catholic stuff. I've got it. I'm so smart. One word. Baloney. Baloney. That's not the way it is. My dear young people, you are called to grow old graciously. You are called to be filled with the grace and the goodness of the Holy Spirit. The sacraments of Christian initiation, whereby you are called, brings you closer and closer to the Lord. Called in baptism, called in confirmation, and in Holy Communion, every single time you attend Mass, and the priest holds up the host and says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world." Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. Every time we receive a sacrament of Christian initiation, that advocate, that spirit, that paraclete is called forth in our lives so that we are challenged to live the life of grace. And we are reminded that with God's grace and with God's goodness, we can overcome the evil in the world. So, my dear brothers and sisters, I am so grateful for you as you come forward tonight to receive this great sacrament. I am so grateful that you understand that you are being called to the newness of life, to the fullness of your baptism, and to the great opportunity, with the power and the grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to respond, to say yes to Jesus, and to remember God's grace in your lives.